Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another brand new episode of the show. Today's episode features my friend Gabrielle Stahlschmidt. We had a really good time recording this one over Zoom, talking about her music studio and everything she's been up to, including her own podcast. Today's episode brought to you by Naked Vine, located in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up the finest wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them this weekend. They got live music back at Naked Vine. Friday, June 12th, Stephen Chosich will be out there at 8 o'clock. And Saturday, June 13th, the Bedlam Brothers will be out there. So check that out. Again, everything at nakedvine.net. For a full listing of details and everything. Also, big thank you to Roughneck Beard Company. They've been a part of my show for a while now, and I'm thrilled to have them on board. But you can shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. You can also visit them in Maplewood, Missouri. Shop local and head on over there. Get yourself cleaned up and looking good. We got beard oils and beard balms and whatever else you need is going to make your beard the best it can be. Check it all out at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off during your purchase. Also, big thank you to Heil Sound for making this show sound great. HeilSound.com today for some brand new gear. All right, that's it for me. Hope you all enjoy today's episode. Sit back, relax. If you need anything, feel free to reach me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. And I would love to send you some hats or shirts or stickers, buttons, whatever you need. I got it all. I can take care of that. So, again, rockpaperpodcast@gmail. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Gabrielle Stahlschmidt, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Scissors, beat, paper, paper covers rock. Rock, beat, scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock, paper, podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock, paper, podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today on Zoom with Gabrielle Stahlschmidt.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'm very excited as well. This is our first time meeting. I mean, I don't know. I would think we probably have been in the same room together or something. You know, I've known
somewhere along the way.
I've known your sister quite a while, and you know, I'm sure we've bumped into each other at some show or something, but this is mm-hmm. our first time properly meeting or virtually meeting. So, I'm excited to get to know a little bit more about what you do and everything else. So, I guess if you want to maybe a quick introduction for yourself and you want to introduce yourself to the audience,
So again, I'm Gabrielle Stahlschmidt, and I am a voice teacher in St. Charles, Missouri. My studio does a lot of really, really neat things other than just lessons. So we do a lot of workshops and webinars and seminars. We're trying to stay on top of the technology and everything, especially during times of quarantine. So this has been a really creative time for me. This is the beautiful side of what's come out of quarantine, is it's challenged me to think in a lot of new ways and to offer new services to my students as well. And that's really what I do. And then I also have a podcast called Own Your Voice podcast. That's a spinoff of my business that really dives into the heart of what it is I try to pursue with my business, which is encouraging a strong independent voices in music and in life. So that's what I'm all about.
There you go. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on, I mean, it's a terrible situation we're all in. I mean, this has been a giant mess for the last couple of months here, but I've been, one of my favorite parts about of it though is the creativity that everybody's trying to figure out different ways to, you know, keep from going crazy and really, you know, like find ways to interact and still engage with people and their audience and different things. So there's been a lot of fun just seeing all the various ways people are being creative.
Absolutely. I mean, especially in the music world, you see all the virtual concerts and the quarantunes and the bands that are popping up everywhere. I love it because there's so much creativity and I'm inspired constantly. Every time I look at my phone, there's something new to try.
I saw a good one today, actually. A buddy sent me a link and it was a bunch of various comedians singing Weird Al's Eat It.
Yes.
And it was really well done.
So, I love it.
Yeah, they all took turns singing a line and then mashed it all together. And so it made me laugh and it was just ridiculous.
Have you seen the virtual choirs and orchestras that are popping up everywhere too?
I've seen, I've seen some of that stuff. Yeah, with like 100 different people or like something like that. Some of them are kind of crazy.
I know. Just be able to do things with musicians all around the world. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been one of my favorites, I don't know that it was necessarily because of quarantine or maybe it was right at the beginning of it. I feel like I saw it a while back, but it was, I think it was just happened to be like a similar format like that, whereas people playing all over the world, but it was The Weight from the band. That was the song. And, and there was like musicians, like, you know, of course, it was United States, but then it was like Africa and, China and whatever, all these different countries and people playing there, and they're also using their own traditional instruments and different stuff. So it was crazy, like this one song interpreted so many different ways and different languages and, you know, and everything else. So
yeah, I think it's a really cool time too to be a musician, especially if you're trying to, you know, break into that world and find new ways to get your music out there, that it's brought music back down to like the home studio and the really approachable level. So that's a really neat thing to see as well.
Yeah, definitely. So how's this affecting you so far? I mean, obviously, I'm sure school's been closed and other various things. So, but you want to kind of talk about how quarantine's been treating you so far?
So I have been very fortunate to continue to be full-time through this entire ordeal. We've transitioned completely to online classes. So we've done a lot of things through Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, anything you can possibly imagine. I've even had Facebook Messenger calls just to try to stay updated with all of that. But it's been really cool too, like I said in the beginning, to be able to offer the workshops and the seminars as webinars and to be able to put that out into the world for so many more people, even outside of Missouri. So in that aspect of it, it's grown even in this time. It's become even bigger. So again, I've been really, really blessed.
Yeah, nice. Well, let's take me back a bit prior to this. I want to go get to know a little bit more about you and even starting a school and stuff. Where is
dangerous?
But how does one come to the decision? Like this is what I need to be doing is teaching and stuff. And
right. So I have been involved in music in some form or another as long as I have a memory. So it's literally everything that I've ever known and done. Mm-hmm. And it's the very natural progression of my life. I started off in college in vocal performance and quickly decided that the, you know, show life and the travel on the road wasn't for me. It takes a very specific type of person to do that. And I knew that I wanted to impact and inspire people because I've always really been drawn to the counseling aspect of what music has to offer. I know you've heard that music is the universal language and it transcends so many different boundaries. So to have that kind of heartfelt conversation with people and break down some of those barriers and really get to know them and pour into them through music is beautiful to me. It combines, you know, all the aspects of what I love, that human side and then the musical side, and it just became the perfect job for me. So after college, I started teaching in the public school system. I was an elementary teacher and I did that for about 5 years and decided really quickly, not really the direction that I wanted to stay on for the rest of my life. So I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to see what happens if I start a studio. And I went full force after it and I never looked back. And it's been the best decision of my life. So I've had this studio for about the last 4.5, almost 5 years now. And it's been a really beautiful thing and taught me a lot about myself for sure. But yeah, it's a little bit of my backstory.
Yeah. I actually work in an elementary. I don't, you know, but so I'm around a lot of these kids and like, we just recently got, this is, you know, back when we were in school. But the kids had recently got their recorders and they were doing their, you know, practicing yes. and the whole, it just took me right back to like that moment when, you know, for some people that might've been their first introduction to music and stuff in school. Right. But like learning, hot cross buns or whatever.
I was going to say, you're going to never want to hear that song ever again.
Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of as rough as it was to sometimes to listen to some of these kids playing recorder. It also was nostalgic in a sense to go back.
Gotta start somewhere, right?
It takes me back to the days when I was that age and in music class and everything else. So, those are definitely some challenging times, you know, as like these kids are practicing. But again, yeah, like you're saying, everybody starts somewhere. So.
Right, right. And there's so much of that that I use from those years of experience doing what I do now. I mean, I have a lot of younger kids and older kids. My youngest is 7, my oldest is 73. So I really use all of that experience. We don't do recorders, so don't worry. But we do a lot of other really cool things as well with other instruments, ORF instruments. So it's a lot of fun.
Right. So now at the school, like I said, you've been in business for, at the studio for what, 4 years you said?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you pretty much focus on vocal or do you have other teachers, along with you?
I do. I actually have another teacher that helps teach piano. So I teach piano and voice, but my main emphasis is on the vocal side of things. Mm-hmm. And then she really takes over the piano side of things. And that's something that I would love to continue to expand and continue offering other instrumental lessons as well in the future. So there's a lot of plans. There's a lot of long-term goals.
Yeah. As a vocal teacher and stuff, I mean, like, are you still able to like enjoy it, like as far as like the performance side of it, like watching other people, or are you busy like critiquing and thinking about it the whole time, or like what they could be doing this better or this different or whatever?
It gets a little difficult. I mean, whenever you're trained in anything, you kind of pick it apart whenever you're listening to it. But yes, you can compartmentalize and just enjoy the show. And I do that as well. But I do find myself from time to time, you know, thinking about certain technical aspects. Sure. And I'm like, oh, there's that, there's this. Yeah. I think that's natural, though.
Right. What are some of the biggest things you think, obviously, I don't know. My audience is like all over the place. I mean, anybody can listen, obviously, but I do have a lot of musicians and comedians on, a lot of people who use their voice, every day. So, or it's their livelihood and things. Which is, I guess, you know, that's keeps you busy, keeps you employed too. They can come to you again, even up to, you know, 70s or whatever. So, there's always something to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you probably pick up on certain things. There's probably things you see in everybody's life that like, this is not good for your voice. Don't be, you know, not to be doing this. And
Yeah, and that's really where I specialize in vocal pedagogy. And that is something that kind of sets the studio apart as well, is really taking care of people's voices and teaching them how to use them intentionally rather than just masking it with a certain cover sound because they're trying to achieve a sound like somebody else. So my goal is that whenever you step foot in the studio, you're going to learn those proper techniques to be able to do that in any genre, do it in the healthiest way possible so that you can sing as long as possible, and really understand how to consciously use those techniques.
Nice. What is what's the biggest thing you've learned, you think, as far as like, taking a chance and starting your own business and everything?
Risks are worth it. Risks are absolutely worth it. And that if you love anything enough, don't listen to anything else around you that might be the negativity, and just go after it 110%, because as long as you're happy and you're able to make that income, then you are successful. And this idea that you have to arrive as a business owner, we never arrive. Yeah. You always have to be adaptable and willing to try new things and take new risks all the time. And that's scary, but it's also a really beautiful thing because it keeps it fresh and exciting. So I would say that too as an encouragement for anybody that is wanting to start a side hustle or a small business, even coming out of this time, go after it with all that you have. Whether or not it works out in the long run, you'll be able to look back and say, I did everything possible. Yeah.
I had a buddy, I was on his podcast the other day, and he asked me like, what is making it, you know, like what do you consider to be successful? And, and I was like, man, you know, it's like, but if you would have asked me at the beginning of this, like it would, to even doing this, I'm just was thinking as myself for doing this show, it would have been totally different. You know, it would have been just anybody listening or getting to talk to this rock star or whatever, you know, so on. But now it's like, you know, my goals change, everything, my idea, like I'm now wouldn't even imagine being here 5 years ago, and now, right, you know, now I'm here. And so now my goal of making it is even greater now. Mm-hmm. And, so it's a definitely like an evolving thing. There's many, many, many different definitions of being successful or making it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, I just think about that too. Like, it's like, if you don't even take the chance to take the chance on yourself to even start the journey, right, you know, you're never going to even see what that could be. Granted it starts with just a dream, but none of us are like, you know, just going to be instantly successful. Right. Well, it happens, but not very often.
Exactly.
But it's just like, I'm with you. Like, it's believe in yourself first to take that chance to start that new business or whatever, you know, or right, even, if you want to learn how to, you know, start singing or, you know, get better at it. Like, yeah, again, like you're saying, you have a student 73 years old, like it's never too late to try something new.
He's the most energetic too out of the entire bunch. I'm like, you got to slow down. Like, right. I can't keep up with you.
Yeah. But, I'm really glad I did this, and like, it's been an incredible experience, even me, just myself doing this podcast, mm-hmm, because it's like opened my world to so much, and I've got to meet so many different people. And, it's a lot of fun, but, mm-hmm, I think it was cool when I got to learn about you doing the school, you even, moved into doing a podcast form of the show and every year of what you do and stuff too. So, let's talk about you and your podcast now.
Sure. And like I said in the beginning too, the podcast is really an offshoot of the heart of what I do with my voice studio. So it is about highlighting people who are making powerful impacts in no matter what their field is. It doesn't just have to be about music, and really showing how they're able to be successful while remaining true to themselves. So it's really about owning your voice in whatever your field is. And I'm really big into authenticity, which I know is a really cliche term nowadays, but about inspiring other people in a brand new way. So not following the necessarily mainstream path to success. I'm always really interested to see how people achieve those things in their own way and, again, define their own success.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to check out the show, you can find Own Your Own Voice on about any of the podcasting apps. I mean, you got your Spotify and Apple and Stitcher and everything else. So click subscribe and follow along. I noticed the first couple were kind of shorter, And maybe a little bit more, there's some more maybe business oriented and stuff and different things, and which I found interesting. But the latest episode kind of went long, and you had some guests on there. So are you thinking more of that line of getting moving into interviews and stuff too?
Yeah, absolutely. I love interviewing people. And like I said, just getting to know their business mind and their creative mind. So definitely, I'm all for those interviews and for lengthening out the show a little bit more as it's gained a little bit more direction. The longer that I've had the podcast too, is it's kind of that personal and professional development. So inspiring people in all forms.
Yeah. It was fun to hear the interview because I didn't know the group that you had on. I didn't know them. So, and that's again why I continue to do my show. I love discovering new music all the time. So, so hopefully, I'll be learning from you along too, learning some more new artists coming up and stuff. So, be sure to check out the podcast. What kind of got you into, wanting to do it? Like, obviously, you used it for your business wise, but were you listening to a bunch of podcasts and like before that?
Yeah, I listened to a bunch of business podcasts, always just trying to have that little extra edge and stay updated on my own knowledge as well. And I think I just started it in the beginning as a way to get my own creative thoughts out into the world, and to inspire people at the heart of it, to share what's worked for me, what hasn't worked for me, and to pick people's brains along the way so that we can kind of make each other better.
Yeah. I kind of started it. I was listening to a lot of comedy once, and a lot of like two comedians talking to a third comedian. Generally, it was kind of like the rough layout. And I listened to a little bit of this all started with a comedian when I met Jay, and then he's like, check out my podcast, and I'm like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot, and liked everything I heard, and like I kept listening to these, and then I was just almost like modeling my week after, like these guys were releasing new episodes every Tuesday. And so then it's like, you got excited when Tuesday came along, you got a new episode.
Right.
And then my buddy Chris one day was like, hey, maybe want to do a show and do a podcast. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. So, I always been a huge fan of music, started diving into St. Louis music and then my, early 20s, about 20, I guess, right after high school. I had some friends playing music, and so I started really getting into what they were doing. So I had like all these friends, so it made natural sense to start inviting all them onto the podcast once I got rolling. So, so I think along that point, I met some guys by the name of Clockwork years ago. And then they are now known as Hounds. And one of them, Jordan, has been a good friend for a long time. And he helped introduce me to your sister, Abby. Mm-hmm. And I've known Abby for a long time. Have I not done this podcast, who knows if we would have ever met or ever talked or whatever it is. So, I'm grateful for St. Louis music bringing us all together and stuff. So.
Absolutely.
But your sister though, she's been a big part of my life recently. She's been a good friend for a long time, but then recently my mother passed in December, and she was volunteered her time and to come play at the funeral and stuff, and it just meant the world to me that she wanted to be a part of that and share some music with us. And so, big shout out to Abby for doing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. She's amazing.
Yeah. So do you two get to, collaborate? I mean, obviously, being, sisters, I'm sure has been going back for quite a while, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We play a lot of music together. I mean, in terms of shows, not as much as we would like to recently.
Right.
We've done a lot of weddings and corporate events together and open mic nights. And we've been talking about trying to put together an album during this whole time where we've been quarantined together. And it makes sense, just to try to sit down and actually write some of our own music. But she has recently come out with her own originals as well. So she's been really busy, and I'm extremely proud of the progress that she's made in her own virtual orchestra that she just put out into the world too. So nailing her down schedule wise is always a bunch of fun. Right. I say hi to her on Instagram every once in a while. Like, nice to see you.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a lot of it. Like, I think we all kind of just get busy, you know. It's like we're all doing so much of our own things and stuff, but mm-hmm. I think that would be a lot of fun to see a project come out of all that, something mm-hmm. to do something fun together like that.
Definitely. I've definitely been bitten by the performance bug a lot more lately too, probably because we've been stuck inside and can't go out anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's on the goal for the rest half of this year.
Right on. Mm-hmm. You mentioned like some of the stuff, like you tried all that for a while, like, you know, getting on and performing and touring and different things. Was what do you feel like, what was your biggest thing that like kept you from staying into that? I mean, like, obviously, you know, you have a passion for teaching and shows, but like why do you think that that never caught on for you as far as pursuing performing?
I think there's a lot of things too, and it goes back to our redefining success and the personal fulfillment aspect of it. I knew that I wanted to do something more with music, and I really felt like I was meant to use the experience that I had to give back to people, and I could best serve others by teaching as well. I love performing, and I definitely want to get out there and perform more, but to make it my job, it just wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. And I felt that it was a kind of a restlessness in my spirit that wasn't the direction for me. It wasn't necessarily the job itself. I just think that my focus was so on loving people and being committed to counseling people. That's where my heart was all the time. That's where I found myself spending the bulk of my focus and attention. And I knew that I couldn't give 110% of myself to performing when I had this other calling on my heart, I guess. It sounds kind of mm-hmm. cheesy, but that's really what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, there's a lot of things like I love to do and that, you know, I'm passionate about, like from culinary cooking was going to be, was something I'm really big on. I enjoy spending time in the kitchen. I like cooking for friends and family and doing all this stuff. And at one point early on, I thought maybe this is it. Maybe I'll go to culinary school and try to be a chef or do something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't happen. I mean, I just kind of got burnt on it. Like, it wasn't something I enjoy more as a you know, hobby, more passion or whatever. Then I knew, like, if I was getting paid to do it and made it a career, I wouldn't want to ever do it anymore, or I wouldn't do it as much and stuff, or put my all into it. And
yep. So that's true too.
I
totally felt that, that if I had committed my life to it, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as a hobby, and I probably wouldn't have done it in my spare time. And that's, I think, how you kind of know what you're meant to be doing, what you're not, is where you're also spending your off time.
Right.
Because I find myself constantly, you know, planning new things for the studio and thinking about my students and checking in with them all the time, even whenever I'm not working per se. And so it just is everything that I am, whereas that performance didn't come as naturally to me in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you get involved with Gabby and the school, Gabrielle and the school. You got Gabrielle studioofmusic.com. Wish I could talk today.
That's okay.
So get involved on the website, and you can find a link there to the podcast and everything associated with that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you also have a Facebook page and Instagram page.
I do.
So you can get involved socially and catch on some of those webinars and different videos parts that you were talking about.
Yes, we have a whole new schedule that's releasing in June as well for the webinars. So stay tuned for that.
Very cool. I was actually doing a little bit of homework, just trying to get to know a little bit more about you. And I found a video of you on Fox 2 last year with Kim Hudson, which was super cool. Like, it took me back, because I also was recent. Well, it was like 2 years ago now, a year and a half. I don't know, whatever. It was around, yeah, I guess it was Christmas time 18. We did a benefit for Toys for Tots called Riffs for Gifts, and Kim allowed us to come on Fox 2 and talk about it.
That's and awesome. So, I love her. She's so fun.
Yeah, she's definitely super cool and made it a lot easier. But that is a weird way to spend the morning is on the news, like, because it's
different for sure. And the time crunch too. You have no idea how quick it goes by when you're in the middle of it.
That was my first like live TV experience. Like, you know, we're just kind of hanging out. And then all of a sudden they like run in the room, throw a light in your face and the camera. Yep. And you're like,
you know, like, I probably had the deer in the headlights look too at some point.
I kept thinking, don't say anything stupid. Just, you know, like,
oh yeah, that doesn't happen for me.
Right.
That's what I do.
And then I think there was a moment I remember like, I'm like reading off the bands and I stall and I'm like, just blanking, and I was like, oh gosh, like, of course it's
gonna happen. Asked me that morning to play piano and it felt like forever when I sat down. I was like, how long have I been playing this? It's gotta be over soon, right?
All right, but yeah, that's I just thought that was cool that we kind of had that in common, getting to be on there. And yeah, Kim's really cool. I think is she like doing something else or something now? I think I saw
not to my knowledge, but she could be. I don't know.
I think I saw maybe she was like, I don't know. I don't know why I speak out of turn, but I think I saw something on Instagram that she accepted a new job or something like that or
okay
something. I don't know. I'll have to go back and double check on that. I don't want to.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't want to.
She now has a new job.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Yeah. I should probably get my story straight before I go talking about it. But
all good.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions that I have been asking people on the show, and I just have fun with these because some of them were pretty silly.
Oh, I'm down.
And so as far as all right, let's start with what's a song that always gets stuck in your head?
I can tell you one that's been stuck in my head right now is Build Me Up Buttercup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. I think we're getting ready to do a big virtual concert with the studio right now. First time we've ever done anything like this. And I have one student who plays ukulele and sings it. And it has been in my head for like the last month. Yeah. So at this point I'm ready for a new song, but that's the one currently.
Right. I've never been there. I've never played, you know, so as far as learning music and everything, but I imagine like when you, that's got to be one of the bad parts about it is like where you just got to like listen to the same song over and over and over and get it down, get it dialed in and everything. And
well, because I'm singing it with them too, and I'm teaching it to them, so I'm learning every single song alongside of them, which is good and bad for me.
Sure, yeah.
And anybody else that's around me.
Right, and then it just I always, for me, it's when a song's like that, like gets stuck in my head, then it just like it becomes like one line on a hook, on a repeat loop, and then just like over and over.
I'm there. I'm currently there. Right. Help, SOS.
I heard a comedian talking about it one time about how like in his brain, then it starts like remixing it and making it like in the, or something like that. And
that's a skill right there.
Yeah, right.
That's a marketable skill. That's a YouTube channel.
There you go. If only you could put that you know, what happens in my brain on there. So we can make that happen, but
that's dangerous.
Yeah. Right. If there was a Gabriel Stahlschmidt movie, who would you cast in the movie?
Oh my goodness. I must choose wisely. A lot of people say that I look like Amanda Seyfried. I've never seen it. So I guess if we were going to lookalikes, it would be her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's funny how some of that works. Like I only until recently I started like kind of seeing some of it, but I used to get a lot that people even might, you know, like, you look like your dad, and I'm like, I don't know, I got like, yeah, maybe this part's, but like I don't necessarily always see it. But there's definitely a lot of like mannerisms that are the same. Like then you start picking up on all that stuff and then you're like,
oh yeah,
yep, definitely turning into my dad right now. You know, it's like
people think that Abby and I are twins, and oh, yeah? I'm like, you know, we don't see it at all, but we get it all the time. I'm like, she's got, you know, brown eyes, brown hair. She is stupid tall. I am not. I am close to the ground. Yeah, so it always cracks me up, too, whenever we get that. It's the first comment whenever we meet people.
Right. I also get, with the last name Presley, I remember even my grandmother said, like, you know, you look like Elvis. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. You know, like,
you're like, that's wishful thinking, Grandma.
Yeah, right. So I'm just like, I think if I never would have said Presley, you probably would have never thought about it. But now that you think, you know, see the name, you think then, you know, right. Everything else. So,
right. Right.
But, that's funny. But yeah, it's funny too. Like, speaking of you and Abby, like me and my brother, we don't really look a whole lot alike. I look more alike to some of my friends, which is what I find really weird that like I have my buddy Nick, who a lot of people were like, thought we were brothers, but mm-hmm. we're just buddies and we happen to look a whole lot alike, which is even weirder. So,
right. Right.
So it's funny how that is, but, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's see. Mm-hmm. What's your strangest fear?
Ooh. I do have a fear of swimming in large bodies of water, but not because of sharks, but because of the fish. Like, oh, yeah? You've seen like those massive catfish that are as big as people. I am a short human being. It could swallow me in one gulp and no one would know I was gone. So for some reason that terrifies me. If I cannot see to the bottom of the pool where I am at, I will not be in it.
Yeah,
definitely. No.
All right. I get that too. There's definitely, I've definitely spent a lot of time in the lake. You know, we used to go to the Ozarks and whatever, various things. So there's definitely those moments where that crosses your mind that who knows what's at the bottom of this lake and everything else. And
yeah, no thanks.
I try just to, you know, out of sight, out of mind type of thing. I try not to think about it and just enjoy the moment, have a good time. And
I've tried that.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to work very well for me.
Right. I remember one time we were down there and we were it's like in this little cove area, kind of, and it was like a natural spring coming out of the mountain area there. And it's like Ha Ha Tonka area.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Lake. Yeah. And we were, remember we're all like swimming and then like somebody yelled snake or something, whatever. And like all of us like got up and ran on top of the water to get out of there and stuff. And like,
right. It's a miracle.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. I don't want nothing touching me while I'm in the water or anything.
Nope. It's, keep it to yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yep. You, what's a movie or TV show you wish you were in?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have you been binging anything on quarantine?
Not as much as I would like to be.
Yeah.
I would say probably an overall category. I'm really obsessed with period dramas.
Okay.
I think it would be awful to live in that time period. I like the modern conveniences. That's just, you know, life's great right where I'm at. But something about the mannerisms and the beautiful countryside that every single movie is filmed in. I'm a travel girl. So I think that would be wonderful. It's not a series, but
right.
Period dramas are my go-to if I'm going to binge anything.
Yeah. I just saw the other day that Lawless movie was on Netflix. And I was watching that. And then that's like, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, cause it's like, you know, one of the moonshining type of, during Prohibition and gangster kind of movie like that. And like,
there you go. Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. They're
that's
all kind
it.
Of, yeah. So I like that kind of stuff. But, you know, everybody was like always dressed so nice, you know, like even just wherever they were going, they all had like, you know, nice shirt and pants and, you know, boots on and stuff. And
everyone could dance. And
right, yeah.
I have two left feet on a good day. So.
Yeah.
Jealous.
Yeah. Right. But those are kind of fun to think about, that, you know, if we were alive during that time and in that world and stuff. So
definitely.
Do you have a dream duet or collaboration that you would love to have?
Dream duet or collaboration? That's a good question too. You got a lot of good questions.
Well, I don't want to take too much credit for some of these. I actually pulled off of from Alan.
Oh no, they all came out of your own head. Oh yeah. Oh man. That's a tough one because I love so many different types of artists. Okay, so I would love to sing with the band Heart.
That would be huge.
All-time favorite, especially the cover that they did of Stairway to Heaven.
Okay, yeah.
That's it. That's the one. My life would be made.
Yeah.
I couldn't do anything else in my life after that. That's the pinnacle right there.
Yeah, that would be cool. Big fan of what they do, and never got to meet them or anything. I did take Stacy to see him. My wife took her to see him a while back at the Fox.
Nice.
It was cool to be there and like in that kind of setting and see him play. So
right, and they're still amazing. Ian Wilson, oh wow, so aged gracefully.
I have a friend, I don't know if you happen to know, but Kelly Wilde, Trixie Delight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She, she obviously is very heavily influenced by them and,
yes.
And, she's got that classic grasp in her voice and rock chick, vocals and stuff. And she's just incredible, but she posted a picture a while back. She got to meet the sisters and stuff. And I was like, I was just so happy for her because like, you know, she's getting to live out her dream and stuff. So like, and right. it was cool to even just as a friend and a fan, like to experience that with her and stuff. So
future podcast idea. There
yeah,
you go.
Right, yeah. But I just love seeing, you know, that's why I've been watching a lot of these shows, extreme home makeovers and all these, you know, whatever. And yes. I just get so like emotional just cause I'm so happy for these people that are, you know, getting to and live out a dream or getting something incredible to happen to them and stuff. You just get overwhelmed and stuff with joy that, so.
Right. Same way here. Yeah. I am definitely a crier. So
for sure. So, okay, if you were a superhero, what would be your name and your superpower?
Okay. It would have to be a singing power of some sort. Siren. Can that be a superhero name? I don't know if that already is one.
It is now.
Yes. Superpower. I'd probably be able to like hypnotize people with my voice. It would be very much like Ursula and the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Absolutely. And they would tell me all of their secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need much. Just your voice.
Right. They're supposed to be redoing Little Mermaid, aren't they?
Are they? Was that the one that it was like rumored Ariana Grande was going to be Ariel?
Hey, I don't know. I forget now who's... but I think with the success of all the other, remakes of recently, all the live action.
There's been a lot.
I think they were looking to make a live action version of the Little Mermaid and stuff. So
I'd watch it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm 35, or I'll be 35 in June here coming up. But me and Stacy have a ton of fun going to the theater and watching all those movies still. And we buy the DVDs and afterwards, but like, Lion King and everything, it's part of it's like nostalgic, I think, but also they're still just great movies. And they even if it's not the, you know, I love the cartoon versions, but also these live actions are a ton of fun too. So.
Right. So what side were you on with the Lion King remake?
I don't know. I can appreciate both. I think I, prefer the original just because it's what I know the most. But the watching, as far as a film wise, like the live action, you know, CGI is just incredible to watch. Like, it's just, it's like, how do they even come up with it? Like, it looks like so realistic.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very impressive what they were able to do. But, you know, again, it's just like, it's tough to take away from the original that you grew up watching so many times and stuff. So
definitely. And the soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was, I mean, that was cool too, to kind of get, some newer songs and updated songs and stuff. And again, it's like you grow so attached to those original vocals. When they're not the same, it's hard to imagine them being something different, but
that's true.
But, you know, Donald Glover and Beyonce are pretty, pretty talented themselves too.
Pretty tough to beat.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
How about you?
I'm pretty much the same way. I can appreciate all art forms too. Mm-hmm. So I think I approached it not with the idea of, oh, this is a totally new thing, I have to love it or hate it. It was just being open-minded and appreciating the advances in technology. I think it was phenomenal what we can do nowadays. And like I said, because I live in the music world, the soundtrack was something that I was really excited for. So to hear how they kind of kept the influences of the original movie but turned it into something new was really mm-hmm. neat for me to see as well. That's when I tried to go in and not judge at all. It's a little tough, but I managed it.
Right.
And I just appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, we're outside of, Disney remakes and everything, like there's so many movies that, or, you know, even cover songs or whatever. It's like, it's sometimes, it's just natural tendency to compare to the original.
Yeah.
But, it's probably the best bet is just take it for what it is as a piece of work, as art right now, and like not trying to, break it down comparing to one or the other. But
well, I think it's neat too, because it allows all of the kids, the younger kids of this generation, to be able to grow up with the same classics that we grew up with too. So the fact that they're still in fashion, you know, and we get to kind of share that with this generation, I think is really, really awesome.
You ever get some of the kids come in and be like, I want to learn this song or something. And then you're like, oh, that's actually, this guy's song or whatever this, you know.
Oh, definitely.
The original.
Yes, yes. And right now, actually, the popular one, it's not, original or the older version or anything like that, but it's Frozen.
Yeah.
That's the show that everybody loves. And so Frozen 1 and Frozen 2, I think all of my young kids have sang the same song at some point. And we need a new Frozen, please. Is there a Frozen 3? Quickly.
I don't know. I watch both. Obviously, they're both great movies. I think, but for as far as soundtrack wise, I thought one had much better songs than two.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those, I mean, Let It Go it's
classic.
It's iconic. But yeah, I guess when you're a vocal teacher and all these young girls want to sing it and stuff and.
Yep. And they act it out too. So yeah, they throw away the cape, they build their little castles and it's fantastic. I'm like, you do you, be a princess girl. Right.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a Frozen 3 here one of these days. I'm sure they'll do it. I'll keep it going.
Please.
Yeah.
Something new.
Right.
New music.
I saw friends do a podcast called Anything But Credible Podcast, and they talk about some of these like various conspiracy theories and stuff, and like they take it for entertainment value. They don't really get too invested into any of it. They more just have fun with them. But they brought up one the other day about Frozen, and was like about how how many years ago it was or whatever, but it was like the main story was about how apparently Walt Disney had his head like frozen and cryogenically frozen.
Yes. I did hear about this.
So, and it was like, I guess they didn't like it and I argued, whatever it was. And so the theory was that Disney created this story and called it Frozen in order to what, so like it totally made that story disappear, that anytime somebody would put Disney Frozen into Google or whatever, of course you're only going to get the movie and everything else. And
wow.
And I was like, I don't know, but that works though. It checks out. Like, so it worked, whatever, if that was the plan or not, but, right. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting thought to think of, you know.
What was their podcast called again?
That one's called Anything But Credible Podcast.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, they're fun. They're but like I said, it's just they do a weekly conspiracy theory to talk about and stuff, and
love it.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of them are a little far stretched for me, but some of them
entertainment
are
entertainment value, yeah, for
some
sure.
Are, some, yeah, are fun to think about though.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you do any celebrity impressions?
No.
No?
No. I do not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start, to be honest with you.
I like, I've noticed that some, you know, a couple of different ones, but some of those people that can like sing in all the different people's voices and stuff.
Like on Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, they mash all those like voices or all their like one song, but then they do like 27 different voices in the song and stuff.
Yes, that's amazing.
Those are, yeah, very impressive.
My favorite are the covers of Britney Spears and Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those yeah, are the best.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what's fun about those two. And there's, I mean, a bunch of them, but like, yeah, they're great voices, but they also are characters. You know, they have so many different little mannerisms that make up, you know, to make it into Britney or a Celine song or whatever and stuff. So,
and that's a whole nother avenue too, voice acting. That is always impressed me. I have no idea how they come up with so many different ways to use their voice. It is insane to me that that's all possible in one instrument. Right. So love it.
Yeah. I was actually just talking to a friend about it, but like some of that, you know, cartoon voices and different things and like all that, you know, a guy like Hank Azaria and stuff who's, I don't know what the number is, but he's voiced like all sorts of characters on The Simpsons. And, yeah, you know, the fact that he's able to get into so many different characters, you know, and stuff. So it's like crazy how he creates these voices and these, you know, their identity and stuff. And
right.
But some of that stuff is funny too, like watching those guys. Cause you like, it's not just like they talk, but they actually have to like, you know, conform their face and stuff to create that voice and things like that. So that's where, like you're saying, it really is vocal acting because you have to become that person.
I don't know how you keep them all separate without, yeah, having influences of the other character. That's amazing. It's a skill I do not have.
Yeah, I can do a little bit of it, like, you know, mimic some of voices and things, but I can't stay in that character for very long. And
right. And exactly. Stuff, so.
All right. Well, I know you know, like you said, you kind of gotten away from the performance side and of all things, but is there, and this, you may even go back to a previous question, but is, you confront the band for one song. What's the song and what's the band?
Okay. I would love to do a cover of Sharp Dressed Man.
Oh yeah.
Every time it comes on the radio, that is my powerhouse song. Love it. And who's the band? Oh, there's so many great musicians.
I was just thinking that, well, you know, you get to be like in ZZ Top for the day and sing Sharp Dressed Man. Like, so.
Done. I'm saying, sign, yeah, me up. Heart, ZZ Top.
Yeah.
My dreams are coming true right now.
That'd be a great concert right there.
Yep. That's the one.
I'm a big fan of ZZ Top myself, and some of one, I feel like they're sort of in my vocal range. Billy's got, you know, that deeper voice and everything, so I can try to sound as cool as him sometimes.
Yes,
He, I remember he came to town. I think they played it. I think it was a family arena a couple years back, and he was telling some story about going to the St. Louis Zoo. They had like the day off the day before, and they went to the zoo, and in typical Billy Gibbons fashion, he starts telling the story, and it's a simple story, but it just sounded so cool in his voice. And he's like, said that they went to the zoo and there was an anteater. He's like, they got this mama anteater and they got this daddy anteater. And now they got some baby anteater. And like, I was stuck with, you know, just like, that was just me. I loved it. And like, I just, cracked me up how he, told that story like that. So.
Oh, definitely. Raspy voices are my weakness. Oh, yeah. They make everything interesting.
All right.
Some people's British accent. No, you got to go for the rock singers.
Oh yeah. Yeah, those guys. It's probably not how it was. Probably not ideal how they got that voice, but you know it works though for them now that they all. Those,
right. It's always interesting to see how they sound later down the line too, and if they still have a voice. Like I think of Steven Tyler. It's like, ooh, it's a little gravelly now for sure.
It's impressive with guys like Roger Daltrey from The Who. They said that he can still sing all those songs in the original key and stuff. Like a lot of those guys have to drop them, you know, because they can't sing that high anymore. But he's like whatever in his 70s and still can sing in the original key.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that is rare.
So I think that's really impressive that, you know, the longevity of a career like that. He's been doing it forever and still be able to sing like that. So
right. And Stevie Nicks is another one too that's very similar. I mean, she still sounds almost exactly the same as she did back in her prime. I know she's a little bit older now too, so
I'm sure behind every one of those great voices was a great teacher that helped them along the way to learn how to protect their voice and do it properly without damaging anything.
One can hope.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have some of those stories come out someday and about some of your students and everything else. And
that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love that. That's the only way you'd get me on tour.
Yeah. All right.
I won't be performing, but I'll be there to coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will you, again, get plugged in, with a Gabriel studio. Wait, sorry. I'll make sure I get it right.
You're good.
Gabriel Studio of Music, .com. Mm-hmm. And you can, get signed up. And again, this is, you mostly, teach out of the St. Charles area, right?
Correct.
So they can come visit you there. And, but you are doing a lot of things online right now. So get plugged in and, hopefully, learn a little something and take everything to the next level.
Definitely. I'd be happy to see all the people, especially on Zoom too. So we do offer Zoom classes as well.
Right. But this has been incredible. I've been having a ton of fun here hanging with you tonight and learning all about all this stuff. So
well, thank you so much again. It's been a lot of fun for me too.
Yeah. And hopefully, we can link up and, meet in for real next time and not have to do it, over the internet here like this. So
absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And again, be sure to follow along with the podcast and, I look forward to more interviews and learning about some more new stuff. So you can find Own Your Own Voice podcast wherever you're listening to podcasting at and follow along.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gabrielle. I appreciate you doing this. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.